You're listening to Blast Processing, the official podcast of all things video gaming, gadget, and gear related on DVDverdict.com. On this episode, Steve kicks some tires and lights some fires. John is not the hero that Gotham needs. And Kev thinks that sneaking is for pansies.
Hello, you are, of course, listening to Blast Processing,
the official belligerent podcast of drunkenness, video games, alcoholism, prostitutes, mobile gaming, console gaming, PC gaming, Sega, Sony, Microsoft, Apple, Android.
Dude. I can't believe you said Apple and Android before. I can't even believe you said Sega before Nintendo. Does your hatred run so deep?
You know nothing of my hatred, John Mercer.
Keeps me warm at night.
Also with me is Mr. Kevin Woolridge.
Exterminate!
Who is in a foul mood, it would seem. He wants to murder people. I think he's working retail or something. We're going to kick things off the way we always do. Get right down to business. To business. John, what you been playing?
It's been a bit of a big week for me. I know we had some little bit of feedback last week. Somebody actually asked me what we, all three of us, had thought about a fairly big release. Came out a couple weeks before we hit the airwaves again. So I sat down and I spent a bit of time with Bears of War 3, Broskies to the End.
Ah, yes. The 7.5 hour beer commercial.
No, you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. It's whatever problems I have with the, you know, with the narrative and the muscular cardboard cutouts that are the characters and whatever problem I have with that, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. It plays like Gears of War, which is still to this day a whole lot of fun. But I don't know. I keep getting into these massive battles that are tons of fun to play, and then the game just bottlenecks for me. It seems like every set piece is followed up by just some drudgery that pulls you right out of the game.
Awesome.
Like right now, you know, I'm trying to sneak into a locust encampment, and it's like, you know, you're playing as four guys who look like they've got Christmas hams taped to their arms, you know? Marcus Fenix looks like he swallowed a tire.
I heard there were a shitload of grubs down there.
Oh, 10 shitloads. More like 10 shitloads. But no, you're trying to... I gotta sneak into a locust encampment using a sniper rifle to shoot guards before they can reach these gigantic phonograph-looking horns and summon the rest of the... Do you remember when the locusts used to show up with, like, crossbows and giant, huge... the double chain guns and everything? Why are they using a phonograph horn?
The horn of hell, the Helmhammer hand will sound in the deep one last time.
Nerd! But, I was having a really good time. Maybe I was just... My opinion sullied a little bit by the amount of fun I had with Space Marine. About 2 weeks before Gears 3 came out.
I believe we talked about that last week briefly, and we all agreed that Space Marine is actually a better game than Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
There you have it. There's your controversy. Up yours, American video game journalism.
Wow. Angry Canadian tonight. The only way it could be worse if he was an angry French Canadian.
Mais oui. Uh-huh. Poutine. I hope Gabriel's not listening this week. I think he's in Germany somewhere.
Dude, I got a bunch of listeners down in, like, Louisville who are going to be like, what the hell are they talking about? What in the hell is they talking about?
Okay,
we just lost our American listeners.
I don't own an Xbox 360, so I haven't even played Beers of War 3. My parents own one.
You know how retarded that sounds?
Oh, I know, it's pretty crazy.
I just used the R word.
I don't really want to throw any spoilers out there yet, but... Was anyone else perturbed by the utter stupidity of the Thrashball sequence?
I did not like it.
It's like, you
I
know,
did not enjoy it.
You spend an hour, and they kind of they put you in Cole's shoes, and you like he starts almost becoming like the lovable buffoon from the first game again.
I never liked Cole as a character. Never.
Well, you don't like Terrible Terry Tate?
No.
Boom!
And boom, schlock locker.
That's the pain train coming. Whoop, whoop!
The lame train coming.
Let you play as Cole for an hour. I mean, the stuff leading up to that's a bit of fun. There's a lot of really cool gunfights and everything. And then you see this stupid minigame.
It almost seemed like more of an interactive cutscene than anything.
Yeah, did they? I thought they hired a professional writer this time out.
They said that last time, too.
Yeah?
This time it was written by a chick, so I figured it was going to be more sensitive and stuff. How many times do they tell me not to be calling dames chicks?
So I'm sorry.
We're just out to offend everybody this evening.
They're not getting the humanities.
But no, I yeah, it just it's the girl who wrote the first Gears novel, which I haven't read. I'm sure there are people out there who've read it who can enlighten us. Larry, if you're listening, I'm sure you've read the first Gears novel. But I just the whole game it kind of took that fret boy mentality of Gears of War 2 and just amped it some more for me. And I mean, I'm sure the ending, I haven't finished the game yet, so I can't really judge it too much, but I'm sure it gets better as it goes, because I've heard nothing but good stuff said about the last few acts of the game. I've heard that they're phenomenally well done, so I can't really judge it too harshly, but that first two chapters did nothing for me.
And it's not to say Epic made a poor game, because it's not a poor game.
No. Not to sound too harsh on Gears.
I mean, for God's sake, it's not Halo 3.
And Horde mode will always be a triumph.
Yeah. Yeah, man, even Beast mode's a bit of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, I put down Gears 3, and you probably remember this. Friday night. Before.
What was I doing Friday night?
We were,
I think I was the goddamn Batman.
Yeah. Spent a little bit of time with a little indie title you console jockeys might have heard of. Little fall release, Batman Arkham City.
Woo!
Yep. And, you know, I might be in the minority here tonight, because Kevin hasn't played it, and Steve's a jaded contrarian douche. But, you know, I liked Arkham Asylum, and what I played of Arkham City, I liked as well. You know, it's again, it's all the pre-release reviews. I mean, which I'm pretty sure was every major website out there.
Oh, everybody had reviews. Yeah, reviews all hit Friday.
Yeah, everyone out there, like all the people who are saying, you know, it's game of the year material. That's a little presumptuous. You know, it's been a year so far. We've seen an absolutely fantastic Mortal Kombat reboot. We've seen L.A. Noire, which is like the most mature title ever. And we saw goddamn Deus Ex.
I think the big thing about Batman, though, is, I mean, I hate to dumb it down to this degree, because it makes me sound like I'm down on the game. And I'm not. It's not that it's a bad game. It's not that it's even a mediocre game. It is an exemplary, awesome, fantastic, extremely well-executed game. But the insanely high review scores, I think there's a little bit of War for Cybertron syndrome in there. You know, there's a little bit of, it's a good Batman game, so it's automatically the best thing ever. And I mean, okay, fine, if you're a fan of the character, you're going to get off on this game. You know, this game is going to knock your boots off. But if you're not really a superhero guy, you know, like, I mean, some of the reviews I read were like, oh, it doesn't matter if you're a fan of Batman or not, this game's amazing. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not true. If you're not a Batman fan, don't play this game, because it's not going to change your mind.
Go and play Splinter Cell.
Yeah, go get Splinter Cell Conviction.
Go drool over the new Hitman footage.
Yeah, you know, go watch the 17 minutes of Hitman that were amazing. Yeah. But it's, I don't know, it's, I like the game, I do enjoy it, and I feel much the same as I did about Arkham City.
Arkham Asylum.
Or Arkham Asylum, sorry.
They should have named it something else, like Batman City on Fire, or Batman No Man's Land.
No, it's, there's no plot.
Not as of yet.
It's just, well, I mean, after 3.5-4 hours of gameplay, I haven't seen even, like, a breadcrumb of a plot. It's just been a who's who of Rogues Gallery.
And actually, yeah, in those 3 hours, we've met up with Hugo Strange to begin the game. The Penguin, Two-Face, Catwoman, the Joker.
Deadshot.
Deadshot.
Wow.
Jack Ryder, we're on our way to Mr. Freeze. This is, I think, 9% done.
I think
on the main game, because it's when you look at your percentage of the game, they also break it down so you get your percentage of the main quest without including all the additional Riddler trophies and challenges.
Challenge maps and stuff.
Yeah. After three and
we saw the Riddler too.
Yeah, we saw the Riddler too. That was actually pretty awesome.
It was.
I was a little bit iffy when they released that Riddler trailer, which you know they've turned him into Jigsaw, but that was it was actually executed really well. But yeah, it's kind of like, I'm really hoping there's a little bit more to it, but right now it's feeling like all the villains kind of just pop up for a cameo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I found Arkham Asylum the same way. Yeah. I gotta say, I found it was a, you know, the gameplay was great for the first 7 or 8 hours.
When you start backtracking.
Then you start backtracking, and the path that you have to follow becomes a little bit more obtuse and stuff, so you find yourself dying and retrying a lot more. And the plot, such as it was crap. It started off...
And for all the talk, too, that first game... I don't know if the second one was written by... The first game was written by Paul Dini, who was one of the big hands in the animated series. Even though he's the guy who wrote all the episodes that won Emmys, Heard of Voice, Mad Love.
Yeah. But then, of course, they just fall back on the whole glowing green crap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it just becomes... And, like, that last boss fight, I mean, if I'm spoiling anything for those of you who haven't played a 2-year-old game, I'm sorry, but that last boss fight with the Joker was weak. And lame.
Yeah. And they've admitted to that themselves, too. Yeah. That it was a stupid game choice. They felt like they had to shoe in a big final boss battle. You could have done something better than that. They said, you know, we didn't want to have the Joker flying around in a silly clown helicopter throwing explosives at you. I would have preferred that.
It was good enough. It's good enough for Bowser. It's good enough for Dr. Wily.
Yeah.
Who else has gone around in flying helicopters?
Here's an idea, you know. Put you versus the Joker in some big-ass room where he's, you know, shooting at you with an obscenely... huge gun.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about Arkham City and Arkham Asylum, both of them, and this is what I really love about the games, is it's kind of this new and gritty portrayal of Batman.
Yeah,
and his villains, you know?
You don't need to forget everything that's going on in the comics. Forget about the nearly 20-year-old animated series we grew up with.
But it seemed like it was made in a vacuum. It seemed like it didn't look at any of the movies or Batman Begins or The Dark Knight. It didn't look at any of the comics. It didn't look at, you know, Nightfall or any of this stuff. It just kind of, it created a unique interpretation of Batman in the video game world, the same way Batman Begins and The Dark Knight did for movies. You know, and I really appreciated that until it started falling into all these little plot pitfalls that the comic books fall into, like the Venom and, you know, this stupid T-virus Resident Evil kind of crap where the Joker turns into a giant steroid freak. And, you know, like, it was just... This thing was rolling along so cool.
Yeah.
Until all of these stupid, geeky, comic booky elements come into it. And to me, it just kind of broke the illusion. You know, it kind of... Oh, great, I'm just playing a crappy old superhero video game again.
Yeah. I love the Scarecrow stuff in it.
Scarecrow stuff was amazing.
The very first time you're again, spoiler alert. The very first time you're walking down a hallway and it changes around you and you're in... Crime Alley.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Oh, the lightning flash.
Yeah, that was one of the, like, as a video game moment for me, that was an amazing moment.
I loved the bit when you hear one of the cops talking about, oh, yeah, the poor kid, he's probably, you know, he'll only have to fall back on his billion-dollar trust fund. Yeah. Then you hear the other, another cop's tipping a little bit sternly and, you know, give him a rest, man. He just watched his mother get gunned down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, it was, the writing... The dialogue and stuff was there, but it didn't form that cohesive whole that I wanted.
Yeah.
And I get the same thing times 10 with Arkham City.
Right.
It seems like there's a whole shit ton of ideas there that are just being flung around with reckless abandon, you know?
Yeah.
But there's no cohesiveness to it. There's nothing pulling it all together. And I mean, like, there's some kind of mysterious references to Protocol 10 from Hugo Strange.
Protocol 10 will occur in 10. The guy sounds more monotone than Mr. Freeze.
And I'm sure, like, that will have some kind of bearing on the final act, but I hope that the bearing on the final act is not just some green glowy shit that turns everybody
I'm hoping the bearing on the final act is Ra's al Ghul, personally. That'd be the coolest thing.
I'd be happy with Ra's. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Ultimate Batman.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, if you liked Arkham Asylum, I'm sure John will concur with this one. If you liked Arkham Asylum, which I'm told a couple of million people did, a lot, you're going to love Arkham City.
Yeah, guys, if you loved dive-kicking off of a statue, knocking a goal, or, you know, coming up through the floor. This one here actually went a little bit step further. You can actually terrify the criminals in the room to the point that they'll surrender.
Which is pretty cool.
Wow, yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah, you know, like, and, you know, there's some really cool stuff there. Like, the first time when you hear a payphone ring, you pick it up and you hear the, I'm assuming it's Mr. Zaz.
Yeah.
Talking about how he's going to knife some old lady. Or the first time you'll veer off onto a side mission and have some guy on a rooftop flag you down and beg you for help, only to be hit from a mile out.
With a sniper rifle.
And you track it down, pick up the ammo casing, turn it over, and see DS carved into it.
Like, little stuff like that makes the game feel so cool to me. Like, for every moment that kind of ticked me off, for every moment where it just felt like, you know, this
beat up this room full of 10 guys.
Yeah, beat up this room full of 10 guys without being seen and have them shoot at you and whatever else. You know, for every moment like that I had in the 4 hours or so I spent in Arkham City, there was a cool moment, there was a really awesome moment, like analyzing the trajectory of a sniper rifle bullet.
I mean, we followed it, man, and the thing was like a mile and a half out.
Yeah.
Impossible sniper shot.
And just the texture of the city was really, really cool. Like, I mean, it is...
The Unreal Engine has never, ever looked this good.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous-looking game. The mechanics, it runs smooth as silk.
Yeah. Something I was really worried about, though, and I was thankfully alleviated, the Catwoman stuff is awesome.
The Catwoman stuff is pretty great.
She feels different from Batman,
yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't change things up to make it...
Yeah.
You know...
My last two big complaints, and then everything else is gravy. Everything else is fries and gravy. Number one, the combat feels a lot more button mashy this time around.
Yeah?
And I fired in Arkham Asylum over the weekend just to kind of go back to it and see, maybe it was always like this. No, it wasn't.
Now,
even later in Arkham Asylum, like, it seems like it takes a lot more punishment to take enemies down now.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're just kind of here slamming repeatedly on the square button.
Now, I'm told you have to use the gadgets a whole lot more, but at 4 hours in, I mean, we're pretty much, we've got all the gadgets you had in Arkham Asylum, but I mean, only really the batarangs and the grappling hook have any real combat applications.
And we had that really crappy electronic gun. That's just, that thing is just stupid.
Yeah, it is. As it goes, that's the best idea you come up with to open a door.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. He's Batman. He jumps through windows. And does he ever do that in this game?
He does. He does, which is great. Yeah. And
keep in mind, everyone, this is based on 3 to 4 hours playing it.
What they say could be anywhere from a 20 to 40 hour main campaign.
Yeah.
So we're not.
We might come back to this next week and say, guys, we were idiots. This is honestly the best game ever. Or, guys, we were idiots. This was a big, giant, steaming pile of Babylon 5 smelling crap.
hold on a second. Let's not get started on Babylon 5, gentlemen.
He's wearing glasses.
Okay, so yeah, number one, combat felt a little bit mash-happy for me, which was a bit of a disappointment. And number two, I know, because I've been told, there is a comic book or something, or a graphic novel, or some bullshit that exists in between Arkham Asylum and Arkham City to kind of fill the gaps in storyline.
Yeah.
That is crap. I started up Arkham City, I had no freaking idea what was going on. Why the hell is half of Gotham City wardened off into a prison? Why are half the streets flooded with frozen water? Like, it made no sense.
And you hear guys, like, as you're going around the city, Batman's picking up conversations everywhere, right? Through microphones or whatever. And you hear the guys talking about, you know, it's cold in the city, having something to do with Mr. Freeze. But there's no real opening movie to the game. Like, Arkham Asylum, the opening was set up beautifully.
Oh, I mean, Gordon and Batman delivering Joker to Arkham.
There's another question. You know, half of, or like a quarter of Gotham City is walled off and turned into this big mega prison. Where the hell is Jim Gordon? You know, I don't care who the mayor is, you know, walling off the city and sticking 1,000 insane people in there, that's, with no guards, that's a really fucking stupid idea.
You might as well be Snake Plissken in Escape from New York. Batman, you must go in and rescue the president. He's only got so many hours to deliver a tape to some... You know?
That'd make an awesome video game.
Escape from New York would make an awesome video game.
Yeah, no, I think Escape from New York would be a short movie if it was Batman.
But no, it didn't really tie into the first game enough.
Yeah.
And I found that kind of funny, because the way the first game ended, it did kind of leave a few threads hanging for a sequel, you know?
But yeah.
It's like it wasn't capitalized on at all. It was like watching an X-Files season cliffhanger, you know? How does Mulder get out of this train car? You'll never know, because when we start up next September, it's going to be 6 months later. It's like that kind of stuff just, I don't know, it just didn't really connect for me, which was a bit of a drag. But again, those are my big complaints. The rest of the game, like the mechanics of flying around the city using the grapple hook and the gliding, and feels amazing, feels absolutely brilliant, feels better than running around Rome as Ezio Auditore di Firenze.
Swinging across,
you know, like
yeah,
it feels
Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it runs so damn smooth, which is really impressive.
Also, the city is just, it's, at no point does it become a bore. The city is just so well put together.
It is, yeah. It is, like, level design
massive,
is really
nice. You've
got
massive skyscrapers, you've got, you know, old gothic-looking museums.
Yeah.
You got the area Steve was complaining about. It looks like old crappy hotels. I don't know if it's supposed to be on a collapsed dock or something, but the streets are all flooded.
Yeah, and another thing I really like about it, the game doesn't offer you a breadcrumb trail. It doesn't hold your hand. You know, it gives you objective markers the same way most open-world sandbox games will, but there's no glowing path. There's no, you know, like, okay, I know where I have to go next, but I don't know how to get into the building.
Yeah.
So I might spend, like, well, I mean, I think I was 45 minutes last week trying to figure out how to get inside GPD.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that kind of stuff I love. I live for that kind of stuff, you know?
And the, there's just the joy, you know, you're on your way to the next big storyline objective, but, oh my god, that's a big giant green question mark over there spray painted on the wall.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go check that out.
Yeah. Mm. Anything else?
Besides those two, and these, I'm going to try to be short about this. I didn't intend for us to talk about Arkham City for 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, you know, we both kind of had a lot to talk about with Batman, so.
And because it's goddamn Batman.
Yeah. I can't wait to open it up. I can't wait to play it.
You open it up right now. You got to breathe it in. Breathe in the carcinogens of your new game.
That's Kev's Batman Arkham City case being opened and closed.
Keep in mind, guys, this podcast was recorded before 3D.
You rebel.
We are so busted. Besides that, I spent a little bit of time on the weekend, bought a Xbox points card, and I downloaded both Radiant Silver Gun for XBLA and Guardian Heroes for XBLA. Two fairly rare Saturn games developed by Treasure Company. There's a... I don't know if I'd use the term renowned, because... they never really amounted to anything huge. They were a fairly respected 16-bit developer.
They have their following.
They have their following. Yeah. I mean, let's not kid ourselves for a second, guys. I loved Gunstar Heroes. You know, I bought Sin and Punishment on the Wii. Downloaded the original Sin and Punishment. Bought the sequel. I loved a lot of what Treasure's done. I loved Silphied for PS2. Silphied the Lost Planet.
That was awesome.
Gradius 5, awesome game. Let's not kid ourselves for a second. To most gamers out there, the Treasure logo doesn't mean
anything.
That being said, these two games, you know, two forgotten relics of Forgotten System from the early days of the 32-bit era, both pretty goddamn good.
These two sexist, misogynist dinosaurs, these relics of the Cold War.
Christ, I missed the Cold War. No, they're both pretty good. Radiant Silver Gun, this is the rarest one. You know, it never materialized in North America for the Saturn, and it vertical shooter goes on eBay for what? Usually about $200.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't think it's quite up in the Panzer Dragoon saga territory, which was like $200.
Yeah, but we could probably call it a rare antiquity.
Yeah,
it. I wouldn't say it's worth that much, but, you know, it's a pretty goddamn good shooter. I'm really liking the way your weapons level up as you're playing. You start the game out, there's no power-ups to pick up different weapons. All the weapons are mapped to different face buttons. You can just switch through them whenever you want, and the more you use them, the more powerful they get.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm really liking, there's two modes to it. There's arcade mode, which loads you up with tons of lives, tons of continues, get as far as you can. And then there's story mode, which gives you 3 lives, no continues unless you earn them, but every time you die, it saves your experience on the gun, so you're starting over and over, and your weapons are getting more and more powerful.
That's pretty cool.
That I thought was a really cool idea.
That's a cool feature.
Yeah. I'm going to piss a lot of people off. Radiant Silver Gun, though I've warmed up to it quite a bit, still isn't as good as Onhander.
See, so all five of you who have heard of Radiant Silver Gun can now be pissed off at John.
I haven't heard of any of those games he's talking about. I kind of fell asleep for the last 3 minutes.
You're angry at me, though.
It's an angry sleep.
Dude, listen, nobody's freaking talking about Aero Draconis, or...
I'm still upset with you for that Babylon 5 comment.
Guardian Heroes, for the hour or so I played it, that's also a bit of fun. That one wasn't quite as rare. You know, basic old-school beat-em-up. I'm kind of like, you know...
Wasn't there a level mechanic or something in that? Didn't you level up characters? Or
yeah, it was played kind of like an RPG.
Okay, cool.
You know, at the end of each level, you get points to spend among your different statistics.
Like River City Ransom?
Yeah, like that. You know, you get your... you got four basic...
Dave Johnson would be so proud of you right now.
Dave Johnson's sitting there in his River City Ransom sauna right now.
With a baseball bat.
Burf! Burf! Drop your coins.
All you need to know is working a Streets of Rage 2 reference.
And he's sitting there with that, do it. Grind up. There we go.
So,
you know what, for the... How much
is
1,200 Microsoft points?
It's about 8 to 10 bucks, I think.
8 to 10 bucks? Yeah, you know what, that...
It's more than that. It's probably about 12 bucks, I think.
Okay, about 12 bucks, guys?
No. Hang on. 15. 1,400 is $20.
The $15, guys, you can't really go wrong.
Is Guardian Heroes 1,500? Or yeah,
Guardian Heroes is 1,200 points.
1,200 points?
And so it was...
Radiant Silver Gun.
Radiant Silver Gun.
Extortion!
Yeah, that's like I went on the XBLA earlier, you know, looking to download stuff.
Neither of those should cost more than 800 points.
Is there any reason Shadow Complex costs that much?
Because it was a new game.
I remember playing it. I remember loving it.
I remember playing it when it was called Super Metroid.
Oh my god, he just admitted he played a Nintendo game.
That's okay, it was Super Metroid, it wasn't...
The SNES was built by Sony, damn it.
I'm right, you're wrong. But that's pretty much what I played.
How about you, Mr. Woolridge?
Okay, well, since John is eating up all the time... I gotta tell you, I've been mostly playing what I've been playing last week. I'm still haloing my way through Deus Ex, Human Revolution. I haven't even bothered to get the augmentation for stealth, because there's just no point. And a good way, I gotta tell you guys out there,
for stealth.
Yeah, I gotta tell the listeners out there, if you're having trouble with the stealth in the game, you don't actually need it. Just find a place where you can't get surrounded, shoot somebody, and wait for the rest of them to come to you. And, you know, you can just make sure you got a laser sight on your gun, and just headshot them as they come into the room or the area.
I tried to play action style whenever I devolved into like a shooting.
Yeah.
Whenever Deus Ex became a shooting war for me, I was annihilated.
Were you?
Annihilated.
What level of the game are you playing in? Are you playing on the most hard?
Well, no, like...
Just normal. The regular?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Give me Deus Ex.
Give me Deus Ex or whatever it was. Yeah. But yeah, man, the game, every time I'd get into a firefight, like all-out firefight, the game would rip me a new one.
Yeah, usually that was the robots, dude. The crab robots.
Not even the soldiers. Even if I was in a room with more than two guards and a firefight broke out, I was a dead man.
Well, it's just a bloodbath for me. I'm killing everything. Anything that walks.
Robots,
augmented, or civilian, it doesn't matter, yeah. They're all dying.
Cracks in the mud, Adam Jensen's going to kill him.
I'm really, really digging it, I got to say. And just the writing, the storyline is fantastic. Really good. Aside from Deus Ex, I will admit I'm still playing Children of Carnia on my phone. I'm getting a little annoyed with it, just because some ad pop-ups and things like that, you know? I mean, it's a phone game.
Why don't you get the paid version?
I don't know if there is a paid version.
Well, then that just sucks.
I'm not paying for this.
I also started to play, just because Halloween's coming up, I downloaded the demo for Costume Quest. I'm going to talk about that later, so I'm not going to talk about it now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's it for me this week.
Slow week.
Slow week, yep.
You just started working retail, didn't you?
I just started working retail, so the game time is
you got Arkham
gone
City
down.
Now, though.
I do have Arkham City, and I can't wait to crack that baby open.
Are you going to wait for the girlfriend when you get home, or is that just...
She's going to be at home, so she's probably going to want to play.
There you go. I am, outside of Batman Arkham, which I already got into with John there, I did pick up a game it released, I think it was a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I did pick up Ace Combat Assault Horizon.
Woo!
Which is, you know, jet fighters and machine guns and...
Tony Scott the video game.
It is Tony Scott the video game. It blew me away. I was really impressed at how much goddamn fun I had playing this game. I was the goddamn Batman of disguise.
Launch Maverick on Alert 5.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
I've never gotten into flight games or flight sims.
For me, this is a flight sim game for people who never got into flight sims.
They
found a way to make a flight combat game fun for someone who doesn't have their crazy flight sim set up on their computer.
Yeah, I was always a fan of the Ace Combat series in particular, because a decent racing game, it found that sweet spot between simulation and arcade. You know, it found that spot where it could feel realistic to an extent, but you could still have a lot of fun. You know, and like the whole thing about Ace Combat was it was always set in some, you know, fictional military principality somewhere, like the kingdom of Zamasuzia or something.
What was the PS2 one where you had to the end of it was basically taken right out of Star Wars. You flew the big giant cannon called Stonehenge or Monolith.
Something. You flew your plane down the barrel of a gun and blew it up.
Yeah.
Before it could be fired.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's an example of the Ace Combat series and just how zany and Looney Tune it got. But the thing about it, okay, yeah, it's basically an arcade flight sim, but it always had a storyline. Right from, I think, Ace Combat 3 or Ace Combat 4. It always had kind of had a story. It had a plot. And it was usually a pretty human story. It wasn't usually, you know, the military country of such and such is declaring war on so-and-so and then political maneuvering and whatever. It was always usually about the pilots in the sky or the people on the ground. Especially the last one, Ace Combat 6 on Xbox 360, was a really well-put-together storyline. They did a really good job of telling, you know, a cool story based around aerial combat, you know? And this one, from the get-go, it kind of hits the ground running, and the storyline is actually really freaking cool. And I already find myself kind of getting into this central character, who's this, you know, troubled, haunted fighter pilot who had a, you know, negative experience in his past. But what's really cool about this one is it's set in a real world. Like, the countries don't sound like they're named after Final Fantasy countries. You know, it's...
Well, considering you're a UN pilot and you're stationed somewhere in North Africa.
Yeah, you're a NATO pilot in the beginning. I mean, the first level is over Miami.
Miami.
Which is really cool. And then, you know, it flashes. I don't know if it flashes ahead or flashes back or what, but you're in North Africa flying with NATO. And like, so far, it's been really cool.
He wakes up out of his nightmare, man. It looks just like the first shot of Apocalypse Now.
Saigon. Shit, still Saigon. But no, it's, you know, it's really well put together. The flight mechanics work awesomely. I love this new dogfight mode where you close in and, you know, you hit L2, R2, and it kind of zooms into this chase cam where you're, you know, you get a really close camera view, and you really see what you're shooting at. You're not just shooting at little black dots on your screen with a little glowing box around them, you know? Like, you see the planes, you see the damage they're doing to them.
I love, too, man, kind of the... when you bring one down in that dogfight mode, you kind of get, like, the knockout shot. The missile hits and you see the plane just shred to pieces and, like, spiral down. And
it's just... It's really, really, you know, it gives you that sense of accomplishment. It really feels satisfying.
Plane blood on the camera.
Plane blood.
That's cool.
Black blood of the earth staining your windshield, you know?
The last time I played a flight sim, it had a fantastic storyline, really great art design, sweeping music, and I really dug all of that. Unfortunately, the planes were dragons, and the game was called Lair.
Wait a second. Somebody liked Lair?
I kind of liked Lair.
I liked all of that, except of course, playing the actual game.
Once you patched it and were able to use analog controls, it was a little better.
Was it?
It still wasn't perfect, but it was a little... It was playable.
I love how they stole the entire soundtrack out of Doom, the movie.
Soundtrack was all by David Arnold, I think. Big Hollywood composer, you know?
He must love Toto.
Yeah. But yeah, I really dig Ace Combat Assault Horizon. You know, two thumbs up for me, for sure, on that one. It's been really, really fun. I mean, the storyline seems like it's going somewhere. There's a few little twists and turns that look to be buried in there. I mean, you know, I can kind of telegraph where some of the characters are going. You know, this guy's going to be a bad guy, but, you know.
I still love the whole Call of Duty in a plane thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, it's kind of a good vibe. It's kind of, you know, picture Modern Warfare, the original Modern Warfare, now not the shitty one. But, you know, Picture Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare only in the cockpit of, you know, an F-15 or an F-4. Or,
well, dude, that's during the opening credits when you're sitting on the side gun of a...
Of a Blackhawk, yeah, firing the Gatling gun, which it felt really, really great.
I remember you sitting there going, like, this is the first time in a video game they've ever made a minigun feel like a minigun.
Yeah, you know, it didn't have this stupid little wind-up that takes 10 minutes before bullets start spraying, you know, and... It felt really, really good.
And everything it hits explodes.
Explodes, yeah. Like, you were causing carnage. You're flying through this village in North Africa on a minigun as a door gunner, and you're tearing shit apart.
Buildings collapse, trucks explode.
It was cool. It felt really good. And just, it looks pretty damn pretty.
Yeah.
You know, like, the planes look nice, the explosions and stuff, the destruction. Yeah, the sweaty pilots, I guess. You know, if you're into sweaty pilots, you know.
And if you like Top Gun, you're definitely into sweaty pilots.
But yeah, so far, you know, really, really good. I'm really enjoying it. The only other thing I really got to talk about is Forza 4. Forza Motorsport 4.
Another genre that I never play.
I am a gearhead. I am a car freak. You know, I know what stats like BHP stand for when I'm looking at.
He's got a shrine upstairs dedicated to Jeremy Clarkson of Top Gear.
No, I don't. That's a lie. However, Jeremy Clarkson is featured quite extensively in Forza 4, and that was admittedly something of a selling point. I do have a Top Gear addiction, I will admit.
But, I mean, there's worse shows to be addicted to.
Yeah. I'm a gearhead.
You can watch The Office.
I'm a gearhead, I'm into cars, and, you know, Gran Turismo was always my bitch. You know, I was always a big Gran Turismo guy. Gran Turismo 5 was something of a letdown for me. It felt like it was created in a vacuum. It felt like the game hadn't evolved in 5 or 6 years.
And there was Forza waiting in the wings.
Well, you know, Forza 3 kind of... Even Forza 2 and the original had me. But, I mean, I always still kind of gravitated back to Gran Turismo. But then Forza 3 just totally hooked me. And when GT5 came out, it's like, you know, it's good, it's Gran Turismo, but it's not Forza. And now I got Forza 4, which looks stunning, really, really pretty. The race mechanics...
So it's a herd said, it's Forza.
Forza, they say, yeah, it's, you know.
What does the Reverend Clarkson call it in the commercial? He doesn't say it in the commercial.
He doesn't say the name, no, but it's got that really great intro that if you're a car freak at all, will bring a tear to your eye.
Oh, is that commercial's in the game?
Yeah, it's the intro for the game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and
that was a classy.
Very game. Classy, very classy. Thumbs up, Microsoft. I don't say that very often, but there you go.
he hasn't said that since the Donnie Darko ad for Gears.
I think if I actually drove a car, I'd be more interested in car games.
That might help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not actually Batman.
Oh, yeah, I guess you got a point there.
Yeah. I don't actually fly fighter planes.
No, that's true. You don't fly planes.
No.
Okay, you guys got me.
I would say I don't actually chainsaw monsters, but I live in CBS.
Oh. Not even CBS. Seal Cove.
Or in the CBS.
But no, it's, you know, I'm digging it. The car selection is great. I mean, no, it doesn't have over 1,000 cars like Gran Turismo, but it does... feature all of the cars in, you know, a nice body attention to detail that half the cars in Gran Turismo didn't have anyway.
Is it pretty?
It's very pretty. Oh, it's pretty. It's so pretty. You know, going around the track and seeing, like, the sun glare off the cars, and when you're using the in-car view, like, the first car I bought was a Kia Forte, because my parents drive a Kia Forte, and I actually kind of like their car.
Yeah.
So I said, screw it, I'll buy it, and I started
Kia
with that.
A decent car nowadays, actually.
Apparently, yeah. I don't want to get into that. That could be a whole podcast in and of itself.
That's another series.
Yeah.
Only you and Galately would listen to it.
But no, I did buy a Kia Forte for my first, like, for my starter vehicle. And I notice things like when I'm on certain tracks and I'm using the interior view, like where I can see the interior of my car, I see sun glare off the different textures on the dashboard. Like, you know, the parts where they use the glossy plastic around, like, say, the CD player.
Yeah.
You actually see sun glare going across that when you turn a specific way and stuff.
Wow.
It's like, that is detail.
That's
and it
detail,
looks
yeah.
awesome. Like, it looks so good in action. And then there's the much-touted Auto Vista mode, where you can kind of just basically use your controller, tour around really fancy exotic cars, and listen to commentary from Reverend Jeremy Clarkson.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that.
It's kind of neat. I tried it with the Kinect. It didn't work out well.
Sorry. What was that?
I did try it with the Kinect.
With the Kinect. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Kinect.
I did attempt to walk around my car and actually use physical gestures to open doors and stuff. But it was just too goddamn slow, too goddamn laggy, and didn't work at all how advertised, so the Kinect is back in the box.
And it serves you right.
Yeah.
Here's the, now, this is a very important thing for me with racing games. How's the soundtrack?
Shit.
Oh.
There's a lot of house. There's a lot of oot, you know, while you're racing around.
So Burnout, like, this is not.
No, it's... But fortunately, you know, you can, if you got an external hard drive with some music on it, or you got a thumb drive with some music, or you just got some music ripped to your Xbox hard drive, you can use custom soundtracks. So, you know.
Me too, here I come.
Exactly.
Is it an Xbox exclusive?
It is.
So I will not be playing it?
It's more or less their answer to Gran Turismo. And,
oh, is it?
Yeah, and sorry, Polyphony Digital and Sony Computer Entertainment Japan, Microsoft has answered, and they have answered in a very, very big way.
Hmm.
I think you guys got some catching up to do. I think you got some homework to do.
There you go, guys. Not a Sony fanboy.
I call it like I see it. I know I can tell you that Gran Turismo 5, I think the average review scores are sitting somewhere around 80,
yeah.
Whereas Forza's are over 90.
Wow.
So, you know, there it is. There's the proof. On to the news!
All right, let's have some news. What's happening in the world, Steve?
Grand Theft Auto 3 has turned 10 years old this week.
I don't believe that.
10 years
old. I was in university when that... Oh, God, I feel old. I feel Woolridge old.
It feels like that was 20 years ago.
I just... Okay, Grand Theft Auto 3 still feels so damn relevant to me.
That can't be 10 years. It must have been 15.
No.
Okay.
It was released in October 2001.
Wow.
The game had changed
everything. Yeah, you know, it's... But what's amazing about it, like, it is still a relevant game. You pop it on now, and it's still entertaining.
Yeah.
It's still an easy-to-play pickup.
A lot of modern games you turn on, now I know it's cheesy for me to say it, but you can see GTA 3's fingerprints
in everything.
Stuff.
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. As diverse as selection
is. How ahead of the curve they were with
Well,
this.
I mean, just how innovative. I mean, everything since then has been pretty much playing catch-up. I mean, look what happened with Driver 3.
Yeah.
Oh. Just trying to emulate that GTA 3 formula, you know, yeah. And how badly they screwed it up.
Then Rockstar to step in again with Vice City and be like, ain't nothing but a thing.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but an 80s thing.
I want to share a little... anecdote, I guess you could call it. My first experience with Grand Theft Auto 3. Of course, I was semi-interested because Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto 2, there were people who liked those games and there were people who played them, but they weren't really... It wasn't a mainstream game at all. It was the kind of game that like a 12-year-old would sit down and play on a computer because, hey, look, I'm running over people. You know, like, they were top-down, chintzy little... They were cheesy games. They were very, very cheesy games.
Pieces of schlock.
Yeah, they were cheesy. They were, you know, PC games that did get ported to a few other systems, but, you know, they were time wasters, exactly. Grand Theft Auto 3 gets announced, and the first screenshots were kind of like, it looks kind of ugly, you know, in a generation where, especially, like, I mean, the fall of 2001, Metal Gear Solid 2, Devil May Cry, Ico, whatever, you know.
Final Fantasy X.
Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, games were starting to look... Next
you game. Know, like, the hardware was really kind of starting to outstrip anything that we were seeing on PlayStation 1 or PC in those days.
Well, this is when arcades started to
CG movies, right?
This is when the arcades started to die.
Yeah. You were seeing stuff, you know, in real time on a PlayStation 2 or, well, the Xbox was just around the corner at this point, but you were seeing stuff in these games that was on par with or better than, like, the CG sequences in old Final Fantasy games on PS1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're like, it was really starting to catch up. Gaming, like,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whole 3D aspect of video gaming really came into its own and became, like, a viable medium. And then you get GTA 3, which was kind of ugly in still pictures.
Yeah.
And then there was this, it was an official PlayStation Magazine article where they wrote up, it was a big, you know, the Grand Theft Auto 3 expose, because no one really knew anything about it before it came out. And this magazine came out, I think, maybe about 2 weeks before launch. And they had a big write-up about how the game started off on the bridge with the prison escape. And, you know, it was seamless. There was no title screen or press start button to begin. It was just you loaded the game up and it went right into the game. And they described, you know, how you rescue this other guy from the prison convoy, and he takes you in his car to this warehouse, and then you set up your first safe house. And I was reading this stuff, and I was like, man, this sounds so awesome. This just sounds so freaking incredible. So, I mean, I pre-ordered it right away, and a good friend of mine, Jeff, who's probably not listening, but hey, you know, whatever.
He should be.
He should be listening. You hear that, Green? But he wasn't so sure, and I was trying to sell him on it, and I was like, no, man, seriously, seriously, you got to play this game, you got to. So I did. I ordered my copies for the store, and I ordered 12 or 15 copies, and the owner was kind of like, really, that seems like an awful lot, and I was like, trust me, you know, just trust me. And it came in, I took my copy home right away. Jeff's like, yeah, hold on to mine for me, but I don't know if I'm going to buy it yet, I want to try yours first. I brought mine and his home with me that night, and he showed up at the house. He walks in, and I'm in an ambulance, cruising down some main street, pouring rain, with a siren going crazy, police chasing me, and he's just like, what the hell is going on? And that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. That was the end. It was just like, this game is, to quote Mr. Dobbin, the tits.
I don't know how many hours I spent in that game just looking for sweet jumps. And like not even doing any
of the missions. Not just sweet jumps. The sweetest
jumps. I mean, that's pretty much all I use the game for.
I remember a bunch of us would get together in the basement and just see who could get the 5 stars first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, guys, and this all led into when GTA 4 hit on PS3 and 360. And you're in the beginning, you know, and you can't access the other island of the city.
Yeah.
And all of us trying to get, the minute you land over there, you automatically go 5 stars, police, the army, everything.
See how long we could survive.
Because, yeah, and one of us managed to land this jump just right, hit the elevated train track, and then took off into the subway system.
And we're just roaming around for a few hours.
Yeah. But the minute you came out up onto the surface.
I remember that.
I remember, like, you know, all of us sitting there and, you know, bad things happened in a strip club, and
things go very wrong. We went in, we paid for a few private sessions, then someone pulled out a shotgun. Started shooting prostitutes or dancers, whatever, and I believe it was Mr. Woolridge who commented, I can't believe I'm watching this happen.
I feel bad.
I did feel very bad, and I continue to feel bad about it to this day.
It's all because of Grand Theft Auto 3.
This is the appeal. This is the craziness of Grand Theft Auto.
It is. And now, I'm going to play devil's advocate and say that, man, the combat system in GTA 3, man, that suck.
It was pretty primitive.
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty primitive.
Oh, it was so frustrating.
Yeah. Once you mastered the lock on, it was okay.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, you know, it was 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a second, you guys actually use guns in Grand Theft Auto? I just run people over.
Grand Theft Auto.
That's like, you know, mafia wise guys that stand there with the little pea shoes. They can't stop a pickup truck with that.
So, 10th anniversary celebrations, they're bringing GTA 3 to mobile platforms.
Android?
Apparently there is an Android version coming, but initially I believe it's only for the Galaxy S2.
Okay.
But it is coming, as far as I know, and apparently there's an Apple version in the works, and BlackBerry, whatever else. I don't know, it's probably going to pop up on tablets everywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, cool 10th anniversary version. I think they're doing some adding little things here and there to it, making a few changes, probably making it a bit more user-friendly for tablets and portable
devices.
The Scarface
soundtrack is still going to be there?
I would imagine. I would imagine. And also, Sideshow Collectibles is producing an extremely limited edition 12-inch action figure of GTA 3's central character, who we're not going to name, but he's pretty badass looking.
He's got his green cargo pants.
He's got his green cargo pants, leather he's jacket. Got his black leather jacket and his blue trainers.
Yeah. Shit ton of guns.
Comes with like AK-47s and M16s with removable clips. And
two blokes and a shitload of cutlery.
It's a really, really awesome looking figure.
And is it going to cost you $300 in your firstborn child?
It is actually, I think, $149
for an action figure.
For a 12-inch tall premium Sideshow Collectibles action figure. That's an important distinction.
A doll.
For a doll.
I said it, yeah. I have some action figures and collectibles. So.
You own a unicycle. You won't tell anything about bad purposes.
A unicycle was a gift, I'll have you know.
But yeah, 10th anniversary. You know, like, I might even fire it up tonight just for something to do. When this podcast is over, I'm going to start playing Grand Theft Auto 3 again.
Speaking of anniversary editions, Halo Anniversary Edition is going to include new features exclusive to the Microsoft Kinect.
I can feel my skin tingling already.
Oh,
it's more like an allergic reaction to something.
Every time somebody says Kinect, you should hear like a horse whinny in terror off in the back. Bum, bum.
So how's that going to work?
It includes voice-activated reloads. This is like Time Crisis. Action!
Reload!
Action!
Reload! Reload!
Grenade tossing. And
grenade!
And some kind of Metroid Prime-esque scanning feature that seems utterly useless. Yeah, they didn't actually find that fun in Metroid
Prime.
What's there to scan in Halo?
I don't understand, like... Okay, what do? You point your Kinect at the screen? Like, how is it... It's scanning in, like... I'm so confused with the whole scanning thing. And why it would be Kinect exclusive.
Well, my thing is... Metroid Prime was, you know, full of scientific stuff to scan. Halo was always more of a boom headshot kind of game.
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, like, I'm thinking maybe when you scan something, it'll tell you which James Cameron movie it was ripped out of.
I don't like this whole having to say reload to reload. It reminds me of that old peripheral for the Nintendo, the thing you used to wear in your...
Fire! Head. Fire!
Yeah, and you'd say fire to fire your gun.
The laser scope.
Like, why would you have to say that?
Here's my thing.
You don't tell your gun to reload.
Okay. Oh, we got a controller here.
It's the future.
That's right.
It's the future. Guns reload on voice command.
Here, listen.
Eject clip. Okay. Reload.
You get shot in the throat, you can't speak.
I got a controller here in my hands.
Yes.
Kevin, say reload.
Reload.
I hit the reload button twice in the time it took you to say that.
Wow.
Steve, an experienced first-person shooter, guys. We're about to do it four times. Reload.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Wow.
So, yeah, guys, I don't get it. It's also got Chivos.
It does have Chivos, which is something we didn't have when we played Halo back in 2000-dickety-1. We had to say dickety because the Kaiser took the word thousand.
That's a bad reference.
It's horrible.
Dr. Fankson, you're a poor scientist.
You are a poor scientist, Dr. Fankson.
Okay, so I was going to talk about Costume Quest earlier, but... there is some news about Costume Quest. I mean, the game's about a year old now, I guess.
I don't even think it's really quite that old.
No?
Maybe just under.
It must be, because I think it did come out as a Halloween thing last year.
Maybe it did.
It's now available on PC.
Hooray!
Which is great, and there was much rejoicing. I think it's $14.99 on Steam, and you should definitely buy it.
On Steam, which is DRM!
That's right. But you should still buy it. I mean, if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber, you can get it for free.
Hey!
Yeah. But buy it.
Free is better than 14.
It is. But Double Fine's a great company.
Yes.
They've made some great games.
Like Once Upon a Monster.
That's right. They need your money, so you should buy it. And
they
Halloween
need your money because you soulless abominations didn't buy Brutal Legend.
Maybe if they'd made a decent game after the first 2 hours,
Listen, that you could either have a decent game after 2 hours, or you could have the most bitching metal soundtrack of all time.
I downloaded the demo for Costume Quest. I haven't picked it up officially.
I've actually played through Costume Quest.
Yeah, I really like it.
It's a very fun game. The writing is hilarious.
It's really funny, and if you're in a Halloween mood, man, and you're too old to actually go out and trick-or-treat as we are,
speak for yourself.
Did you guys see
like,
the...
Four months older than me.
Did you see the nice card they sent, Double Fine sent to the cancer victim?
Yes, I did, yeah.
That was pretty classy, really nice. So buy their game.
They're good.
Tim Schafer needs your money.
Yeah.
They totally do.
Cash money.
Okay, this one's probably not of interest to anybody but me, but Squaresoft announced yesterday, or Square Enix announced yesterday Final Fantasy XIV version 2.0. Anyone familiar with Final Fantasy XIV knows that...
Whereas the first one was version 2.0.
No. No, it wasn't. Final Fantasy XIV has basically been a black spot on what has otherwise been, I can't say an impeccable record, it's been a pretty spotty record ever since this generation started. I don't care what anybody else says. Square Enix are not the company they were in the PlayStation 1 decade, okay? Let's just leave it at that. But Final Fantasy XIV was a bit of a bollocks launch. It wasn't a finished game. I played it for 2 or 3 months. I backed away. Then when I went free-to-play, I dived back in again.
You played that for 2 months?
Well, not steady for 2 months.
You're not allowed to say anything else about Arkham City ever again.
Have you ever played Final Fantasy XIV, John?
No.
Shut up. You ever played Final Fantasy XI?
Yes, I did.
How long?
Five
minutes at my place. Shut up. Ever play any MMO for more than a minute, John? Ever get past the character creation?
I sank probably about 27 to 30 hours into City of Villains.
Bullshit!
93% of that was probably asleep at the keyboard.
See, you have no right to talk.
Yeah, I reviewed DC Universe last year.
but you didn't play it.
Your review consistently saying this case smells like poop.
I got the last Final Fantasy game I played was called Final Fantasy.
Old school. You played through 7.
I don't think I played through it.
I played through 7.
A little bit of it at your house.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hipster Cam's trying to score himself some cred with the Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, I was the Dragon Warrior. I played the Dragon Warrior games. I did not play the Final Fantasy games.
You didn't score yourself any cred, though, because you called it Dragon Warrior.
It was Dragon Warrior when I was growing up, and it will continue to be.
It will always be
it
Dragon
will always
Warrior.
Be Dragon
Represent.
Warrior. That's right.
Represent.
I was playing Dragon Quest before it was a quest.
Final Fantasy XIV, complete relaunch. Graphics overhauled from top to bottom. All new graphics engine. All new world design.
All joking aside, that screenshot looked pretty good.
It looks stunning. It looks stunning. And as it was, Final Fantasy XIV was not a bad-looking game. It was a pretty nice-looking game. The UI wasn't bad if you were using a controller, but if you were going mouse and keyboard, it was a horrible, miserable bitch to play.
Life-sucking.
Yeah. And it didn't have the appeal of Final Fantasy XIV, or Final Fantasy XI, sorry. XI was like World of Warcraft. If World of Warcraft were kindergarten and FF11 were high school, you know? It was a dense, deep, and ultimately a pretty rewarding game if you were willing to put the time and the dedication into it. FF14 was just... Yeah, FF14 was just a mess. It was a horrible launch. As much as I enjoyed some of my time with it, I hated so much more of my time with it. And I'm really looking forward to this new revisited, I guess, version of it. It's coming for PC, PlayStation 2, or PlayStation 3, sorry, in early 2012. And I'm looking forward to it.
Hmm. All right. I probably won't play it, though.
I'm sure you won't. You and I will just go back to being virtual tourists in some other MMO. We got to get Age of Conan on the go. That's free to play now.
Yeah.
We could go around taking pictures in Age of Conan like we used to do at World of Warcraft.
That would be fun.
I promise I won't attack you about the sources.
For an hour. Before it was free to play. So I paid for that hour.
There you go. Oh, yeah, okay.
And that made all
you
the difference.
You probably played it on my account, you bastard.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Am I saying that right? Street Fighter Cross Tekken?
I believe that's
Street Fighter
that's
fights,
how the...
X-Tekken fights Tekken.
I think the whole, you know, the Ultimate Capcom Fighting Jam crowd say it's Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So the elite guys, that's
okay,
what they
say. Okay, so the showryuken.net or .com or whatever crew, that's what they're called, are they?
Yeah, and kids. Guys who are like all members of Capcom's Unity blog.
Unity! He wore that imprinted on that black forehead of his for a week. What's Tony calling it?
I don't think Tony doesn't exist. He's in Labrador.
Street Fighter fight. What is he doing in Labrador?
He's herding huskies and school children.
No, nobody lives in one does not simply walk into Labrador.
He's teaching gym.
Have you ever seen the inside of a gym?
He told me that for basketball he brought in a PlayStation 3 and a copy of NBA Jam.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken drops on consoles on March 6th of 2012. That's kind of become a Capcom's release window for fighting games.
Except for, they got the Ultimate MC versus Capcom, whatever.
Yeah, though, I mean, Marvel versus Capcom 3 hit pretty much March.
Yeah, it was in Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, it was like, I picked it up, I played, I remember I was talking about it with Adam for a while, he was quite excited about it, and then, like, 2 weeks later, Mortal Kombat came out. I never thought I'd be saying that. I never thought I'd pick Mortal Kombat over a Capcom fighter.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 sucked, John. face it.
March 6th of 2012, we're getting our Street Fighter Cross Tekken. You know, anyone who doesn't really care about that, this is a pretty big deal. Fighting me for my first-person shooter.
I think we're only now reaching the point, like, with intercompany politics, that it can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think it's maybe about 4 years too late.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do. Street Fighter 4 was brilliant, but... And, I mean, yeah, like, the fighting game diehards love Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
But the mass appeal just isn't there anymore. Like, I remember when Street Fighter, and not so much Street Fighter, but definitely Tekken, was talked about the same way stuff like Call of Duty is talked about now.
Dude, mm-hmm. I can remember when Street Fighter Alpha 3 hit on PS1, how big a deal it was.
It actually wasn't.
No?
No, it was a niche title.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does that have something to do, do you think, with people being more interested in 3D games? I mean, when you're talking about fighting games, they're essentially 2D.
Yeah,
platformers.
They're kind of one of the last holdovers from the arcade
generation. Yeah.
But you want to know what's not an old holdover?
What's that?
The snazzy collector's edition.
That looks gorgeous.
It's pretty cool.
And it includes some kind of papercraft bank that looks like an arcade cabinet.
That's right up Kev's alley.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, Kev, anyone who spends time on Instructables.com, they're short of luck. I'm sure a week after this game comes out, they're going to have all sorts of sick mods for it.
Oh, I did.
I'll be able to turn my Street Fighter Cross Tekken and arcade cabinet bank into Lucky and Wild.
I think it's essentially made out of cardboard, so you know.
Yeah. You could.
You could pretty much do anything with it.
It's still a pretty crazy looking collector's edition. It comes with more than the bank.
It does.
The bank is the best part of it.
The bank is the best part. Yeah.
It looks like an arcade cabinet.
It totally does.
But now, it's like 5 inches tall.
I already have one that
I
made
myself.
You can
fill it with coins, just like a real arcade cabinet. I can put my quarters
in. But it's made out of cardboard, so your quarters will make it disintegrate.
I can put my quarters in you, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, but you won't give me anything.
What you could do is you could have the bank set up by your console, stick the quarter in, then press start and play.
That would be cool.
And then anyone else wants to join in,
they gotta put
next.
And if you win, they gotta keep paying.
Yeah.
Just like in the arcade.
Yeah, you put your quarter on the table.
Yeah.
So we got one final piece of news that I'm gonna share.
Biggest piece of news of the week.
This is really, really big news. So our Lord Notch has announced that the final edition of Minecraft, and maybe even even one of the editions before it finally comes out, the moon and sun are going to be round, not square.
Yes! Yes!
Now, I only got this info from Twitter.
Hold on, Victor!
I got this info from Twitter, and I saw some screenshots. It looks like he's going to be introducing moon phases. I think there was some sort of poll or vote about it as well. Personally, I was a little bit heartbroken, because the square moon and the square sun, for me, that's Minecraft, man. But maybe the moon phases, well, I don't know what's... there's no point in me talking to these two fellas about it, because, you know, it's Minecraft.
Are you a crazy person? Is that what your problem is?
I do own a unicycle.
And Minecraft.
And Minecraft.
On two separate gaming platforms.
That's right. Well, I can't play one of them because of my graphics.
That's going to be I'm going to call it the Kevin argument, which I'm going to win every week.
Minecraft, unicycle.
Yeah, the Kevin argument, whenever he blathers on about it, he's going to be, you own a unicycle.
And Minecraft on two platforms.
I know there's going to be some female listener out there who's getting all hot and bothered now at the thought of unicycles.
So, if anybody out there is interested in this, hit up Notch on Twitter. Look at his tweets. and you're going to have a look at some of his screenshots of the new round moon and the moon phases.
You should have seen the tear rolling down his cheek. when he witnessed his round moon.
I think it's great. I think it's nice that Minecraft is still evolving.
Oh, we're still evolving.
I think it's great that he's putting the work into it, not just resting on his laurels and counting his millions.
And he's also being sued by Bethesda.
Yeah, well, no, is it him or is it the company?
It's the company.
Over the whole Scrolls thing?
Yeah.
Well, I can kind of understand where they're coming from, but at the same time, it's kind of like a little bit of a case of like the big bully kind of picking on them.
Oh, yeah, he even offered to like play a video game.
Quake 3.
Yeah, to play Quake 3 with him, and whoever won would get the rights to the name. They declined, I think, but... And he even said on his Twitter, he said, you know what? I love Bethesda. I'm going to go out and buy Skyrim as soon as it comes out. This is just a lawyer's thing. Yeah. Like, that's cool.
Yep.
That's cool, man.
I was glad we're talking about Minecraft and not RuneScape. I promised my wife I'd mention RuneScape. I didn't promise her to be a good mention.
Steve, I'm sure you've got an ambush topic for us.
I do. Yeah. I actually do.
Why don't you hit us with it?
Bottleneck. Perfect place for an ambush. It's a goddamn bottleneck. Anakin Skywalker. No. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yes.
80s cartoons and the video game you'd make out of them.
Oh, whoa! Oh, I had one of these prepared last year when Need for Speed Hot Pursuit came out. Everybody knows, or anybody who listens to this, anybody who talks to me, anybody who knows me personally, I'm the world's biggest fan of, like, the bigger the action is in a game, the better. Like, my game of the year last year was goddamn Vanquish.
Prison and Crazy Bitch.
Prison and Crazy Bitch.
Smoke Break Button.
Soviet Killbots. Smoke Break Button. I love my racing game. I'm not like Steve with his Forza and his Gran Turismo. Racing games with me begin and end with the words Burnout. Okay, the more crashes, the more crazy, the faster you can go, the better. I would love...
It has over 200 brake horsepower.
I would love for some crazy developer to mash big-time shooting action and fast-ass driving and buy the rights to Mask.
No. Oh, that would be fantastic.
But I thought you were going to say Cadillacs and Dinosaurs in there.
Yeah.
How would you do that? Would you have to get, like, out of the car, like Grand Theft Auto style, to use your mask abilities?
Well, what were their mask abilities?
You know, like things like Spectrum and Lasso and all this stuff. Whiplash on. You know?
Telepathy.
Listen, yeah, telepathy. Lift off, on!
For the past year, what I've been thinking about this game, all I've been thinking about is basically seeing Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, but the theme from Mask is playing in the background. Mask Crusader.
Oh, that was one of the greatest theme songs, man.
Season 1 is now available on DVD. I must have
actually,
it.
Nope. I do have a better one than that.
Here we go. Don't you steal mine.
You already had one. You're going to steal one of ours.
Okay, listen. I'll let you guys have yours.
Okay, okay. The time is right, because a new series just started recently, within the past year.
Okay.
For a Thundercats game.
They're on the loose.
Thundercats are on the move, and they're on the loose.
Yeah.
And I would love to see it. I don't want an MMO. I want a third-person, straight-up game.
Action-adventure game.
Action-adventure game, so you can play as Lino. You got the Sword of Omens. You're cutting people up, you know? Make it like a Conan game.
Do you think that would just be basically, like, same old license cashing game then, though?
I don't care, man. It's
no, not if you went like, not if you went like the X-Men Origins route and made it like bloody as fuck.
Or make it multiplayer. Support with multiplayer, so you can have different Thundercats.
And have team-based attacks based team-based on your pairs.
I think it would be very
cool. You
know,
like if you had Lion-O and that Cheetah chick, they might have a specific team attack. There you
go. That'd be fun. So I want to see Thundercats.
Thundercats?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Okay.
I know you're going to take what I was about to say.
I want a real, honest-to-God, bona-fide, awesome G.I. Joe game.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want G.I. Joe, a real American hero. Where you got to build up, like, say, okay, you know what? Screw it. Go all out with it. Online, team-based shooter.
Yeah.
Only.
Four-player co-op.
Dude. Big-ass boss fights.
Against G.I. Joe vehicles.
Yeah, the giant Cobra crazy-ass vehicles.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, like, four-player online co-op, treat it like, you know, Splinter Cell Conviction. The co-op in Splinter Cell Conviction was awesome. When you build your character, you pick, you know, your specialties, you get your stealth guys, you get your assault guys, your rifleman, class-based shooter, you know, that kind of thing. You could do such an awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be playing as the Joes themselves, or do you get to choose your own sweet-ass code name?
Oh, it'd be the Joes, but you get to pick your own code name.
Okay.
Maybe have, like, the major characters in there as, you know, like, briefings and, like, AI assists on levels or something like that, you know, But basically, you have a persistent character. You create your own character, you create his code name, and then he levels up. Like similar to Call of Duty's multiplayer.
Sneak into the Cobra airfield, and oh my god, Cobra Rattler!
Yeah, you know, exactly. Holy shit, I'm getting strafed by an A-10.
That's even better than I was going to bring up, man. I was going to say, you know, going that whole Vanquish route again and doing Spiral Zone.
Oh, there we go. That'd be awesome. But see,
other G.I. Joe's even better.
Other than me and you, no one remembers Spiral Zone. That's the problem.
That's true.
Earth's most powerful soldiers.
They're Earth's last chance against the Spiral Zone.
Look that up on YouTube.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's badass. That's it. We're done. We're out for the week.
We've been Blast Processing.
You've been listeners.
Exterminate.
That's how it goes at all.
We did that wrong. Let's start over. No, seriously, leave feedback. Facebook page, Blast Processing. Search us. You'll find us. Search for either of the three of us. We've got John Mercer. We've got Steve Power. We've got Kevin Woolridge. We've all got Facebook pages. We all like hearing from people. We all like feedback.
We love hearing from people. We love feedback, negative and positive.
Yeah, we love gatherings, but we hate people. Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
Yes, obviously, because Kev just made an Alanis Morissette reference, we're Canadian. But, okay. You know, leave feedback.
You could have made a Mike Myers reference. You could have made a Bert the Raccoon reference.
You can hit up DVDverdict.com. Head on over to the jury room forums over there.
It's pretty sweet forum, actually.
It's a fun forum. It's a nice place to chill out, relax, have a chat, you know.
We got our own section, too, and it is swank.
It is swank.
Not as swank as our Facebook page, but it's...
The Facebook page is, yeah, there we go.
That's the king of... That's, you know... If you're going to like anything on Facebook...
Like Blast
Processing.
Like
Blast Processing. Seriously, guys, Epic Mealtime cannot be the only Canadian phenomenon on the internet.
Yeah. There we go. There it is. Yeah. You know, how many times can you watch a bunch of Frenchmen make poutine? Seriously.
Less times than you can listen to a bunch of hairy ass...
With a Hans Zimmer soundtrack in the background. Yeah.
A bunch of bearded, crazy Newfoundlanders drink whiskey and talk about your favorite video games.
Talk about the things you love and we hate.
Everything.
So, that's it. Tune in next week when I'm sure you'll hear Kevin say...
Is that gasoline I smell?
We are out of here.